As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Plus minus.
Curry, way downtown. Bang! Bang! Oh, what a shot from Curry!
Tim Kawakami deserves all the credit then.
Plus minus.
Driving again. Tell Marcus that he asked that question about my defense. Do you hear that, Marcus?
Anthony, you know me well, buddy. Y'all have a great night.
I think you got the highest plus minus in the season in NBA history.
Welcome to the Warriors Plus Minus Podcast, the newest episode. We got the whole crew here: Marcus Thompson, Tim Kawakami, Anthony Slater. Slater.
Yes, sir.
We got a date in Sacramento on Friday.
It's going to be good. It's going to be a good crowd. Maybe not playoff level, but near.
I mean, can you doubt it? I mean, it was a playoff level preseason game. What what's the home opener going to be in Sacramento?
They're getting, I think I saw 11 national TV games for the Kings this year, something like that, which is just, you know, an ocean of games for them. They went like four straight years with that one. So,
were you there for Lighting the Beam? They changed that up last night there, Slater?
Well, it was a road win last night.
They were in Minnesota. No, where were they? Not Minnesota.
They were in Utah.
Utah.
Okay. Yeah, they blew the Jazz out last night. And they, so it wasn't the celebratory home Light the Beam, they did have Matt Barnes on the post game show doing his whole like shtick where he like calls somebody and pretends like he's telling them to light the beam. And they did light it. They actually lit it a couple days before the season too. They're all in.
Woo.
They even brightened the light this year, so it's even more purple into the sky.
And very interesting news that drops today from this. We thought was a bitter rivalry between NorCal enemies with bad blood in between. TK, that is all out of the window because Curry Brand announces today that De'Aaron Fox is one of his new endorsers. Doesn't that take the sting off this thing? These dudes are homies, man. Like,
yeah, but it never really was players, right? Well, maybe some of them inherited.
Draymond stomped on Sabonis' chest. That was the start
there's
or something.
There's a few, but I think they respect the Warriors respect De'Aaron Fox a ton.
Oh yeah,
clearly Draymond and Steph do. So I don't know if there was they all know Vivek, right? You know, it's not like there's been, they all obviously know and really like Mike Brown. So I don't know that it was a player to player. It's interesting, but I think they liked De'Aaron Fox. I mean, I think that's a guy that they really like.
No, they love De'Aaron Fox.
They do. Also, it's a very friend. It's not rivalry bitterness at all, and it hasn't been. You mentioned the Mike Brown, but you know, Luke Laux, Leandro Barbosa, by the way. And like they played two preseason games against each other. I don't know if you guys noticed, but they almost never played in preseason in previous years. But now it does feel much more like familial between
the
two.
It's kind of proof that you can have a good rivalry without the beef.
Yeah.
Because it's actually entertaining. It's good. They do go at each other, but they're all like friendly. It's almost like the competition is driven by the fact that they are friendly. Like they don't want their friends having a one up on them, right? There's a camaraderie to it. Well, there's one exception, TK. What's the one exception?
Well, Harry B missing that shot on the wing when Draymond said, seen that before. That's for out of familiarity too. Hey, let's see what happens. They run into each other in playoffs again, and And it's also because the Warriors beat the Kings. If the Kings had beaten the Warriors, Warriors might be salty about it. Like, you know, we know them. That might have changed the lever a little bit. But the Warriors beating the Kings game seven, Steph going crazy. What are the Kings going to mock Steph? Was Mike Brown going to say, oh, what did he ever do? I mean, I think the kind of the way this has developed, the Kings on the rise and the Warriors kind of still holding on and winning in game seven. The Kings can think, well, we should have won that. And the Warriors thinking, look what we did. We beat them. And most of the Warriors' attention is always to the Lakers and now to the Nuggets.
There was also no – what you're saying is there was no Dylan Brooks quotes coming out of Sacramento. It wasn't like, our dynasty starts. It was
like,
now.
They're done. Like, now, maybe if the Kings had won that game, well, they don't seem to have that personality. I don't know who on the Kings would have said that.
Malik Monk, maybe. Remember, he was the only one who had the quote in the series about how they – you know, which was actually true at the time, but they killed him in game six.
We're playing fast.
We just knew we're younger, faster. Yeah. We're just going to play fast and tire them out.
Basically. But we're leaving out another, like, you know, thing that brings them together. We got Slater. Slater covers them both. So how can you be upset each other when you've got Slater on both sides?
Great alley-oop, Tim Kawakami. Me and Sam Amick currently have a huge big picture story on the Kings that dropped this morning on the website. And I'm sure all of our Warriors Plus Minus listeners just can't wait to go right to their computers to read it all. It's a lot of Mike Brown mixed in. And, you know, Warriors fans will remember Mike Brown's stern approach did kind of build that, what, number two defense that year that they won the title a couple years ago. So
here's a question. Let's make it Warriors. Are the Warriors better than the Kings? Are they better than the Kings? Can they just flat out? They beat them in game seven. They kicked away game six. But are they right now a better team?
They're not a better team. They have the best player. And that they're close enough to where that makes a difference in the end. Like in the end, they have the best player.
I'd say this. I think that if they were lining up in a playoff series in April, we knew like, hey, they're going to meet again in the first round right now. I'd probably pick Warriors because mostly what Marcus said, right? Steph Curry plays for the Warriors. But who do I think is a better regular season team and who would I predict to have more wins right now? I think the Kings, just because of the stability and continuity and what, you know, they brought back their whole starting lineup, their sixth man, their seventh man, they're adding around the edges. Whereas, I mean, we saw it even in game one, like Warriors got a lot to work through and we're going to really get into this, I'm sure, closing lineups and some of that. But I mean, the Kings are stability, right? Entering
the regular season. They doubled down on it. They burned all their cap space to get Sabonis signed and they didn't really add to it. They went with what they got. I think like the Chris Paul thing for the Warriors was like pointed towards like the Nuggets and the Lakers more than it was. I don't know that it helps them a ton against the Kings specifically because it's just that's a more open game. I don't know, you know, exactly who he's covering. I think it was like just those tough minutes against those big teams that you've got to win every possession. I don't know that the Kings are going to give you some possessions, right? They're not that great defensively. And you know, they can't, you know, Steph is just going to go for 50. We'll see. Maybe, you know, maybe there will be moments where Chris Paul really makes a difference for that organization.
I mean, Jordan Poole didn't have a great series and it mattered.
No.
They needed a backup guard.
Remember, that's true. I mean, they always need that. I agree. I just think it's so much more specific to like the Lakers series in my mind. But yeah, maybe there will be a big difference.
Slightly forgotten in that Kings series, Poole really kind of badly sprained his ankle. He played through it. Remember, like, I think it was game one or two. I know it was one of those first two. And then he was like hobbled after that. No, he did not have a very good series.
And we always know when Jordan Poole's a little hurt, don't we? We always seem to know that one. That's okay. I don't want to rip. I don't want to rip Jordan Poole.
Hey, he plays, though.
He plays. Man. So it's a question. No, it's no question. There. On this team with Steph and, you know, Clay and Draymond missing so many games, it was important that he played, no question. But I think, I don't know. I mean, I would like to see the Kings try to take a bigger swing, frankly. And I wouldn't like to keep on and on about the Kings here. So and maybe the Warriors are just better. I think the Warriors might just be better for as long as Marcus says, Steph, but they've got Clay can make big shots against them. They've got Draymond, obviously. Now, I don't know. Is Draymond going to play, you think, tomorrow?
No, I do not. No. Yeah. Steve Kerr actually went on 95.7 and said no for sure. Does sound like soon, but maybe Houston. I would say probably one of the Houston-New Orleans games.
And again, the Kings are not necessarily a team you need to match up you know, size wise, so they can get away with Wiggins at the four, Clay guarding the four. Like, they're in that guy. You go, oh my God, who are they going to guard here? It's Harrison
Keegan
Barnes.
Murray does look good.
Keegan,
right?
Yeah, but no, Keegan, but that's Murray is the guy.
Yeah, Draymond doesn't guard Keegan Murray anyway, right? So
he might have to.
Hey, I don't know what game you saw last night, Tim, but Harrison Barnes had 27. There you in the go.
Well,
first
that's the guy. That is the guy. Well, I think you can put Wiggins on Harrison Barnes and go, he's probably not going for 40, or maybe Clay. It's maybe who's Clay on Fox.
I think Clay's guarding Keegan Murray probably.
That's what I put.
I think Wiggins probably on Fox, and you.
I think Wiggins is on Fox.
Chris Paul on Steph, Barnes.
I feel like Steph, you put Steph on Barnes. Yeah.
Okay.
But what you want is Harrison Barnes trying to post up Steph. That's killing the Kings' offense.
Yeah, but well, don't which, have De'Aaron even... Fox go. Just have get it to Harry B. Yeah. Throw it into him.
Yeah,
but yeah, I mean. I just think the Warriors are a better team. I mean, they showed it. They did game seven. I think they still are, maybe not for a long time. And I don't know if they're going to win Friday, but I think they're a better team. I was thinking about that. Like, if you just start thinking down the road, who are the Warriors have to go over and who are they already better than? I think they've got to think they're better than the Kings. If they're not better than the Kings, they got to, you know, they're talking about being the four seed, maybe the five seed. And I think that's just too much for them. They've got to, in their minds, be better than the Kings. I think that's just kind of a line of delineation for me.
He's calling it a must win, Marcus. He's
must
calling
win. If they, it's,
must
all, it's all over. Win. It's all over. If they win, they're going to light a freaking beam at Chase Center, I think. Like, we're better than the Kings. Look at us.
I do want to get into this defense, but where the Warriors are now, like, they like Slater said, they have so much work to do. I feel like the Kings are there. Like, they stepped on the court, and it was like it kept growing. And that reminds me of the Warriors. It reminds me of that was the Warriors' strength, was the chemistry. So I do feel like by the end of the season, if the Warriors do develop in the way they envision, they'll be pretty formidable. They'll be a tough – the Kings will be looking up, like, how are we going to beat this team? Even if Sacramento is, again, the higher seed.
Oh, I understand how jagged that Warriors season was last year. But still entering the playoffs, it was like, they're the favorites in the series. They're the Vegas favorites. Everybody's picking them.
That's what it'll be. I think
it would probably be the same, but look, this is how the league is. Look at the Nuggets. They're an unbelievable, have been regular season team because of continuity. The Jazz back in the Gobert, Davion, or Donovan Mitchell days. It's like continuity wins in the regular season. That's why I think the Kings, I would predict, will have more regular season wins than the Warriors, even though I think the Warriors are more dangerous in a series.
But talking about the Kings and Mike Brown and all that makes me think about this defense. Like, when I rewatched the game, it actually wasn't that bad. It was bad for stretches. Warriors defense. Yeah, it was bad for stretches, and they had a problem with Devin Booker. But they did a lot of good in that game. Like, even with the rebounds, I feel a lot better about their defense after rewatching the game. Like, I don't think there's any shame in not being able to guard Devin Booker. Like, that dude is an MVP, and he did actually pretty good. They had some bad rotations down the stretch, like that killed them. Chris Paul did the classic TK. I'm a no man's land. I'm a help down. It's like, what is Chris Paul gonna do when they dump, you know, to the big? He goes a fake help, gives up the corner three to Okogie. I'm not sure what Looney was doing.
Not a great game.
Yeah, I'm not sure what he was doing.
Steph gave up a lot of backdoor.
Steph did not have a good game. And then, you know, this is one of the flaws of the Klay Thompson at the four type lineups. But oftentimes it isn't, hey, you know, somebody's posting him up. We know he can kind of handle that. He's the low man a lot of times on a help. Like, and I'm specifically mentioning this because the Nurkic basically win ceiling layup. Yep. Klay Thompson's technically the rim protector in that situation, right? Because Looney's out. You know, Thompson's guarding the corner. Can he get over? He's not going to go up and bother Nurkic at the rim or basically any center. So that is where their size really does.
And Draymond is probably – you know, figuring that out to where he knows I'm pushing Clay out there or somebody exactly. else is getting out there. Yeah. And I know where this pass is going. Especially like if you're not going to be able to contest that Devin Booker shot, which he probably wasn't going to be able to contest it, but it just feels like that's all like very typical, like Mike Brown will be on them. The grade will be poor and then they'll go out and fix it. Right. Like, I don't know. The defense was getting cooked all preseason, and I actually thought they did some good things in this game. And you could tell they held the the Suns to 108, which was a feat. But how they play Kevin Durant, like, I mean, they were actually pretty good.
Yeah, KD's going to make a lot of those shots that he missed. You know, some of it's random, but Klay starts out on him and was fine. Wiggins was okay on him. They've just got kind of, I think GP2 took a turn or two on him, got into his legs. They've got more guys who can, they can play out there who can guard the wings and guard the big forwards. I think that was even with Draymond out, GP2 makes a huge difference. They basically did not have GP2 last season. And he just, like, you go turn somebody off. Like, you go, like, remember the Lakers series, like, Russ D'Angelo started getting hot. Kirk just says, okay, GP2, you make sure he doesn't get hot.
They he's a plus really 15, have, right?
Yeah, he was plus last on Tuesday. He's just a guy that you can just throw out there. He
didn't make a shot either, right?
Like, now, well, I was about
he
to
really
say,
didn't make a shot. He really didn't make a shot.
The only
you
worry
kind of tensed up when he hit that air ball. I was sitting next to you, MT.
Because he does look healthy right now, which is a big difference than what we saw last year. But, you know, teams, how many times did their offense possession end in? Well, this seems like the obvious pass to the wide open corner guy. And he, a few years ago, shot it pretty well. And it is only one game, but that shot does not look
when he
like
airballed
it's...
that first one, he ain't won another one.
It's a confident shot for him. It's a set shot, so that's a confident shot. And if the first one doesn't go in, it's tough to shoot that second one. He's just got to finish, I think. You know, what was he when he first started with the Warriors? He just could finish. He dunked everything. And he tried to dunk that one. I mean, there was no way. But that's because he doesn't have a finish. He's got to be a dunk over. He doesn't have that dribble, you know, step under, flip. He doesn't have that really. But he's got to finish when he's 3 feet in the rim because he's 6'2". Like, you know, they need him to play like he's 6'8". Sometimes he really does. On Tuesday, he didn't. The three, I think, I know I've never been high on a 3-point, as MT knows. I just like it's a confident shot, and you can't count on a confident shot. You got to, you know, you count on the guys who just, that's their shot. That's not necessarily a shot. It's just there for him all the time. But all good. I mean, he plays such great defense that, you know, he changes. He interrupts the dribble. He forces teams to get out of what they want to do. That's huge. It's a big deal for them. That's a GP2 is a big player against the Kings, right? You got, someone's going to have to go get Malik Monk if he gets hot. Somebody's going to have to go get De'Aaron Fox when Wiggins is out. Like, they need that guy, and GP2 is that guy. They have more of that. If they're going to play Kuminga more, which it certainly feels like Kerr is committed to, that's a big man-to-man defender. They've got Wiggins. Presumably he's going to play better than he did on Tuesday. I think we all presume that. They got Draymond. They just got, you know, not as many guys as they used to have when they could throw Iguodala and Livingston. And we know the list, freaking Durant. You know, they just had guys that could throw at people. But they got more of it.
That's where Moody continues to be.
Yeah,
a
Moody
player.
Again. I thought Moody played a real nice game.
Probably spotlight him because he was their best player in the first half. I mean, it was.
He got dinged a little in the second. I heard in the second half he got dinged a little.
Well, he fell on his hip on one of his, you know, he kind of has those wild drives at times. And he's kind of a crash landing type guy. But you know, he was fine. I mean, he played through it. He had two confident corner threes. You know, the layups at the rim. He's kind of a hustle defender. You know, you see what some of the stuff that Josh Okogie did for the Suns. That's almost what you want Moses Moody to do at times, right? Go crash in for one of those offensive rebounds. I'm not sure he is as good a perimeter defender, like, hey, just stick on a guy, as maybe pre-draft or post-draft the Warriors hoped. But, I mean, overall, you got to like how he looked.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think he's the backup, too. Just make him the backup, too. Give him some minutes at three. You're right. He's long. He's not a great, you know, his feet don't move great, you know, on the perimeter, but he's long. He can play passing lanes. I think the three looks really good. I think his three, he's just feeling smooth with that. And that's what earns him minutes. And, you know, maybe he's not the guy you throw out there and go stop Malik Monk, or put on De'Aaron Fox, but he's a guy that you can just like comfortably feel like he can stop the second best offensive player, or at least be in front of him. He can board. And he can hit the three. These are not turn the ball. And he gets in position sometimes where he takes a dribble and he gets stuck. Take a little less of that. But I think he's very playable. I don't think he should be out of the rotation. And we know it happened last season. And sometimes we couldn't really understand it. But I think he and Kuminga are in the rotation. They should just be in the rotation. And I think Moody played really confidently on Tuesday.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Discover the latest collections from David Yurman, as seen recently, styled on basketball stars like Jaime Jaquez, Jalen Green, D'Angelo Russell, and others. David Yurman is a celebrated American jewelry company inspired by the beauty of art, architecture, and the natural world. The story of David Yurman begins in New York City, with David, a sculptor, and his wife, Sybil, a painter and ceramicist. When the artists began collaborating, their goal was to simply make beautiful, designed objects to wear. Over 40 years later, the Yurmans and their son, Evan, continue to redefine American luxury jewelry with timeless, modern collections for women and men defined by inspiration, innovation, consummate craftsmanship, and Cable, the brand's artistic signature. David Yurman's collections are available on davidyurman.com.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This is what we said, right? They got to make it tough. Got to make it difficult. And Kerr showed, like, hey, I'll sit an OG. Well, yep. Wiggins is the easy start, but let's see him.
Wiggins got that loony mindset. Where
yeah,
let him do that for Clay on opening night.
Yeah, yeah, that'll be the real test if he's ready. But there's something to me. The thing that's so special about Moody is he doesn't need any time. Like, he just comes in and he's instantly doing what he does. Like, if he gets that first open shot, like, he's making that shot. Like, that's just how he's been. He's been that way. He comes in the game immediately, gets a rebound while they're getting killed on the boards, blocks a drive to the basket, gets a steal in the layup. Like, the good part about him is he doesn't wait, which is also probably the bad part about him, because he sees the drive, he's taking it immediately, the shot, he's taking it. But there's, like, Kuminga, there was a drive, he's coming down, and he's got Eric Gordon. It's like Eric Gordon between him and the basket. Kuminga has to take that. He just has to. He's one of two guys on his team who could see a 47-year-old between him and a basket and take him. Like, who else? Like, everybody else is like, oh, he's there, I'm passing it. And Kuminga saw it, swung the ball, and it's like, nah, that's not who you are on his team. But also, he's got to feel comfortable that if that drive don't work out, he's not getting yanked.
Yeah, you said it at the time, but I think he's breaking habits, because I do think there's, even though they're telling him, hey, we want you crashing every time, there's more trust if the three's open, you know, and as long as Steph and Clay aren't sitting next to you wide open, like, you can take it. It's, you can still tell he's like, you know, and to be honest, he's right. Like, if he doesn't play that well or makes a couple mistakes, like, even though Steve Kerr has said all the glowing stuff about him, like, you know, he's going Sarge, especially when Draymond's back, you know, he's going somewhere else.
Well, he got that third foul, and he was hot. He's like, well, I know what this means.
Yeah. Yeah. He's burying me.
Well, I think I'll never play it again.
I think if the exchange is you don't take it when, you know, you probably had a 75% chance you should have taken against Gordon, means you don't take it when you're, what, Wembanyama would be the extreme of it. But, yeah, you know, when somebody he should not take it against, which we know he's done. We know Kuminga's done. You know, when he does that spin and he gets in trouble and the ball's gone. Like, if you just – if that's the trade-off, I think Kerr will take it. Then you build it up, and then you really feel good about taking it against an Eric Gordon or whoever. I think they'll take
or
that.
Or do you build up a passivity?
Yeah, I mean, you're right. You know, listen, it's a judgment call. It depends on where you are in the clock, where who else is on the floor with you, what the, you know, the feel of the game is. But yeah, he should be good enough to take that, right? Just be, if I'm not going to blow this, because I'm going to take a power dribble here, cross step, boom, right through him. But there's still a chance he has a turnover, right? There's still a chance that Eric Gordon slides in front of him.
They got to kind of be okay with it. And that's what's tough, because they're on this obsession of, like, only Steph and Draymond are allowed to turn the ball over.
Yeah. And another part is he feeling good with his free throws, right? Because some of it is you know, you don't want to get
two big misses the other night.
He made two before that, too. That was rare. I thought live that was his first trip to the line, but I was like, no, it wasn't. Like, that was odd for him to be short off front rim after already having made free throws. That was just pure tightness. That's what that was.
Yep. And you know what? You're gonna have to, you got to live through that. You got to grow through that. But some of that is like, God, you know, listen, if it's early in the clock, I might get fouled. Steph's over there. Maybe I just pull it back. And it's not a bad inclination. I mean, you have to measure it, but it's not a, for him, it's not
but
a
see,
bad
Moody don't have that. Moody's like, Moody nah, does let's not go. Have Moody's like, let's go. It works to his advantage in that situation because when he comes in, he almost automatically makes a play because he's let's go. And it looks good for him. Now, there was one part where I think it was Eric Gordon who hit it with a crossover. And he was like gone, completely out the play. And it's like, you can't get cooked by Eric Gordon off the dribble like that.
By the way, I mean, this is the big thing in the difference in their basketball backgrounds, where Moody grew up as a third guy on even his high school team, right? He played with Cade Cunningham and Scotty Barnes.
He came off the bench, right?
Yeah, he played with Cade Cunningham and Scotty Barnes in high school. Like, he knows to make an impact, I need to go, like, find ways to make an impact because he grew up as a role player. Whereas Kuminga has been a star and believes he will be a star long term, but has been told he needs to kind of find a way to become a role player. And I just think that's where the different hesitancy is.
Yeah, one's throttling it back. The other one maybe could throttle it, you know, in a different direction. But they're key players. They're going to play this season. You know, we've talked about them both for 2 years. Like, are they going to play? Should they play? They got to play. Like, there's nobody taking their minutes at this moment. Now, they might lose them, but there's no Anthony Lamb. There's no Dante DiVincenzo. There's no, like, those guys are not there anymore. And they have to get these guys to play.
I mean, I feel like Corey Joseph is staking claim to this year's, like, you know, thing that just fires the fan base up.
Yes. Those 4 minutes didn't help his cause in that.
Like, it took him 4 minutes to become the guy nobody wants to see on the court. Well,
there always has to be one, right? This team always has to have somebody like that.
This fan base will not be content if you don't give them the red meat of a player they can hate.
Brad Wanamaker.
Yeah, no question. There's always somebody. There's a few of them. The other guy I think who, like, looked good but also looked awful at the same time. You could see how he's gonna be good, but it just didn't work out well. Was Dario Saric. He was, man, 3-for-11 was rough. And the part that's a little bit concerning is it's Jusuf Nurkić, it's Drew Eubanks. Like, those are the guys you cook. So what did you think of Sarge? I mean, you can obviously see, like, he's not afraid to shoot, which has been a problem. He's actually very skilled. And he's, you know, he'll get in there and mix it up. I don't know how much he's going to stop anybody, but he'll get in the way. But what did you think of Sarge and his fit? And, you know, what should we make of his debut?
There was one play where he kind of took somebody off the dribble. I can't remember who it was, right? It was like he had a crossover to the rim. And I was sitting next to Kendra Andrews, and I was just like, Jamichael Green doesn't do that. And, you know, not to throw shots at Jamichael Green, but and I think I said it on the postgame thing, but you could just feel the upgrade at that spot, that they are back to, you know, Otto Porter level, Nemanja Bjelica, some combo of those two. And they so desperately, clearly need that at, like, the third, fourth big spot. There probably will be some overplay situations where you're like, you know, does he really had to play Sarge 28 minutes tonight? But he's a very good basketball player who's still only 29. That's the thing I think people forget, you know, a couple years off the ACL. Like, he's not older in his career. He's not physically where Otto Porter is at, just trying to be held together. Like, I think he thinks I can play 70 something games. I can play 28 minutes if Steve Kerr wants him to. A great signing. I think that's pretty obvious.
Yeah, he's got to make those shots. There's no question. I mean, he's around the rim. He's going to, but I think the bigger picture is he's getting those shots. Like, he is, how many times did you see Jamichael Green even have those shots? He was at the 3-point line, or he was done, or he was dunking, or he was done. Clearly, Saric works with Paul. Clearly, CP3 is looking for him. They have a good feel together about space, about timing. He's got to make them. And MT says he's not exactly going up against great defense. He's not going up against, you know, Robert Williams there. But the fact that he can catch the ball, again, how many times have the Warriors had a big man who could not catch the pass? And he's got a shot at making those. Again, you've got to be better than 3 for 11. I think he was like 0-for-7 around the rim to start. He's just having trouble getting that ball in the rim, or at least get fouled. But just those two things, are just being
aware of where the space is and being able to catch the ball are two things that they have not had. And even Porter and Bielitsa weren't quite that. Again, they made a lot of shots. Not saying that that's wiped out here, but just those two skills are pretty interesting for them. And I think definitely works with CP3. Like, it's just a good thing for Paul to have a familiar guy there. He can pick and pop. He can pick and roll. Knows exactly how Paul's going to try to get him the ball. Those are all good things for them. He's just got to make the shots. Like, if you don't make the shots like that, then, you know, this whole discussion changes. But I got a feeling he's going to be better than 3-for-11 with as many point blank shots he's got. They're contested. You know, like, athletes are all around him. Understandable. But you got to be shooting 60% on those shots. They just have to. And those are shots that we've talked about forever. The Warriors don't get. They don't make because they don't have those guys. He's a guy who can get in within 6 feet and make a couple runners because they're going to be there for him. In this offense, they're going to be there for him.
Yeah, I want to ask you guys something. Would you like to see them sprinkle in some Trayce Jackson-Davis?
I was just about to say that. That's who I wanted to see. I think it's a matchup thing, and I think this was the matchup. I feel like, obviously, there's others rookie, coming. It's the first
there's
game.
There's a lot of them. There's a lot of them.
Yeah. I do feel like this was one of those games. I mean, have we ever seen Nurkic dominate the Warriors like that? I mean, he looks great.
Yeah.
And he's always the weak link.
He's pretty good. I mean, I know
he's good, but against the Warriors, he's always been the weak link.
Or hurt.
It's like they had to go small. I mean, you throw Bogut at him, you know, you throw David West at him, you know, some of the guys they had, he wasn't a problem.
Oh, JaVale.
Draymond might have changed Yusuf Nurkic's night.
Draymond would have changed Yusuf Nurkic's night, no question. It just feels like he was better than I've ever seen him against the Warriors.
Beyond that, because I agree with you, but Trayce Jackson-Davis is a rookie, but he's not needing all this, like, tutelage and, like,
man, that dude
sharpening. And
yeah, he's older than James Wiseman. He's older than James.
Oh, yeah, he's older than
Kuminga Moody.
Yeah, exactly.
He's older than Looney. No, wait a minute. No, that's wrong. With Looney now, 28 is still unbelievable to me. It's that he's only 28, but I can see Trayce Jackson getting some minutes, no question. I could see it. They don't have to play Sarge. Would he play 24 minutes on Tuesday, something like that? They could cut that down. There's options for all those spots, and yeah, he could finish. Like, I don't know, he's not going to be an incredible finisher, but I think he's shown that he's got a little.
He's
knack
above
for
the rim.
Yeah, he's got a knack for it. He's a good cutter. He catches the ball. Like, these are things that they've been wanting a bunch of guys. You know, they wanted Damian Jones to do. They wanted all these guys that they've had. And I think Trayce Jackson could do some of those things. I would not be surprised if he gets some minutes pretty soon. Maybe Friday for him.
Yeah, no Draymond Friday. And that's the other thing we should probably talk about. Like, Draymond's about to complicate this rotation scenario because it already feels crowded. And, you know, you're shaving off 30-something minutes by the time Draymond's fully healthy from that front court, you know, and then you do start to, you know, are there going to be 12, 10-minute Kuminga nights? Are there going to be 8-minute Moody nights? Is there going to be, you know, stuff like that? You know, and then, of course, the closing scenario, which I know we've talked
some
about.
Some of that is Wiggins going to play 36, right? Maybe he won't, like, you know, because Wiggins takes some of those power forward minutes. We know that. It's like if you drop him to 32 – Sarge to 18. Like, you could just see how it gets shaved here, and then you expand or you subtract depending on how they're playing. But I just think you got to say Kuminga's the backup four. Sometimes Wiggins is, but right now Kuminga's the backup four and Moody's the backup two. Like, you just give them, program those 12 minutes each right there. You're playing those 12 to 14 minutes. There might be times when the rotation mix is a little different, but if you just go in with that, and then play it from there, and some other people kind of move around their minutes. I think it's just easier to think of it that way. And like, they didn't think of them that way last season or the season before. Just program. This is it. That's it. And then Saric is going to get most of the backup center minutes, but Trayce Jackson-Davis could get some too. Obviously, you know, Draymond's going to play some center. I mean, minutes are going to go down, no question. Maybe not for CP3. I'm trying to figure out how they get those minutes down because we know how much Steve likes closing halves with them. But I think you can see it. It's just like they're going to have to fit guys into real roles and then work around them. And I just think Moody's your backup two, and I think Kuminga's your backup four, and then you play it from there.
The other thing I think we could generally ask about, and it's one game, so I don't want to feel like I'm piling on Corey Joseph, but it felt like that, like while Okogie's running around crashing the boards and causing all this havoc, and there was a stretch there where Steph and Corey Joseph played together, and it was like, why does this make any sense?
Corey Joseph defending Devin Booker, you didn't like that?
Yeah, it was just like it felt like a game where, you know, you could see Pajimski get a few minutes just to do his little kind of run around hustle thing, take some charges, get some rebounds. Are there more games like that? I think if Pajimski comes in the game instead of Corey Joseph in this game, it would have probably been a better fit with the size they had on the perimeter.
Yeah, you talk about rebounding? I mean,
yeah, rebounding.
That guy can rebound. That guy is a really good defensive rebounder, not just for his size. He's just good. So, yeah, that's where he could earn his minutes and play over Corey Joseph. Yeah, I mean, from what we saw on Tuesday, I think a lot of people would be interested in seeing that.
Yeah, I think Steve's kind of doing the whole, like, early in the season, like, veterans get, you know, I guess, like, 10-year rules out in rotation choices, which he even said publicly, right? But, yeah, I also missed games are probably coming, right? Two back-to-backs coming up. Games start to pile up. So we'll see those guys.
Yeah, I just think that Kirk does like them better than he's like the, you know, than Patrick Baldwin Jr. or – you know, the list that we know.
Ryan Rollins,
James Wiseman in his first few years, the whole thing. And he'll find spots. There's not going to be huge minutes for either one of them. But there's that Corey Joseph thing that we saw, and Kirk does it. Like, there's a little 4 to 6 minute hole in the first half that if you want to cut down on Steph's minutes or you want to cut down on CP3's minutes, there's that hole. We've seen him do it with point guards in the past. Corey Joseph had it and it was not good. And if he's not good for a series of games, then you might see that is where Pajemski would go right there and maybe play some minutes with Steph, maybe play some minutes where he's got a Kogi or something like that. Just keep him off the boards, go get some boards, move the ball around, maybe make a shot, maybe not. But do some things more than Corey Joseph can do. There is a hole there. And maybe Corey Joseph comes out and just, you know, plays great.
Corey Joseph, he missed a lot of preseason.
It's like one game.
Probably not in great shape.
Yeah, it was 3 minutes, and it's not like he came out and like committed 4 turnovers and he just got. I think they put him on Booker for a couple of possessions. Yes, just didn't work.
It's going to be next to either Steph or CP3, right? It's not going to be by himself as the point guard. So it's an interesting role that you got there. And any minutes when you're playing with Steph, you don't want to screw them up, right? That was the whole Wiseman thing. Anytime they played him with Steph, he was terrible. You can't. Those are precious minutes, and you don't want to screw them up. And Steve Kerr's not going to want to scrim. I mean, obviously, Joseph could play better. We'll
see. The only thing I don't know about Pajemski, and we would have to learn through like seeing what you're talking about, is like it's very difficult to be 4 minutes in a game and like high impact 4 minutes and out, especially for a guy who, right, he was Santa Clara's superstar last year. It's a little bit like the Moody Kuminga conversation we were having earlier. Like Moody kind of knows like how to come in and just like rumble around for 3 minutes and then go back to the bench. It's tough usually for young guys in the league if they don't know, hey, I'm getting 8 straight minutes. You're just going in and playing, you know, 3 minutes, 42 seconds for the entire game. So who knows?
Yeah, if I take this shot and I miss it, am I coming right out, you know, after 3 minutes, 10, right? I understand. Well, I think he's got the makeup. I think both do. I think Trayce Jackson-Davis has it too. Like, you know what? I'm going to go in there and do what I do. And then I come out and I don't play for 3 more games. That's fine. I'll share something about Pajemski. After the game, I think when CP3 went up, it was just me and Steph in there, and I was talking, of course. What do you think I was talking to Steph about, Marcus?
Carolina Panthers.
I was asking him about Steve Wilkes, actually. But then Pajemski just jumps in because his locker is like, you know, what, 2 away from Steph. He just starts jumping in and starts telling, you know, his opinions about, you know, Bryce Young, whatever. Like, he's not shy. Like, there are not many people that jump into Steph Curry conversations. Not many, like, veteran players who jump into Steph Curry conversations. So I think that's good. I think that, you know, he's got something, you know, he's got a swagger. We all seen it. Like, the guy believes in himself. So, you know, it's not. Patrick Baldwin wasn't like that. And, you know, it's all different personalities. But, like, this guy's got something to him. We'll see if it plays on the basketball court. We'll see what he can do in those 4 minute stints. But I think he's got the capability to do it. And, again, I'm not expecting to see it right away.
But I think they like, I think the other players like that about him. Like, he's not shy. He's not little quiet guy in the corner. He's jumping in and offering his opinions about, you know, whatever, not outrageously, but he's doing it. And I think that's a good sign.
One more thing I wanted to ask you, scale of 1 to 10, how worried are you about Andrew Wiggins?
One game, wasn't a great preseason, but he's got a subtle game. You know, it's like the difference between him having a great game and a bad game is it two made shots? Is it, well, the rebounding is the one, like that's the big thing. That's where you can really tell where his energy was. And it wasn't there. One offensive rebound, zero defensive rebounds in a game where the rebounds were all important. But I think he can get there. It just, he's got to feel, I think they felt it a little bit last season, you know, with even counting all the games he missed. Even then, he wasn't at full gear. He, like, how many times did Kerr talk about, oh, guys came, won a championship, and they kind of came in with a different mindset and kind of started slow. And I thought it was mostly Wiggins he was talking about. There might have been a lot of people, but it felt like it was mostly Wiggins. It's understandable. He played the longest season he's ever going to play, but that's been a while now. And they lost last season. And you want to be extra motivated. You want to come in with a little bit of edge. But that's just not him. He's not an edgy dude. I think he'll round into it. If we're talking like this and it's December, you know, a little different. But that was one game where the shot wasn't falling and maybe he was passive about it and rebounding just wasn't there for him. I don't think this is going
to be. Missed a bunch of layups.
Yeah, like it just layups. Wasn't. The energy, the legs weren't there. Couple times I was looking for the offensive rebounds. It was him just not being able to hold on to the ball, right? How many of those, like, bang off hands up in the air, it goes to Okogie or goes to, you know, someone else. I just don't think that's a major thing. I know, Slater, maybe you think a little differently.
Yeah, I mean, I'm probably ringing the alarm bell a little bit more. He hasn't played much basketball in the last calendar year. He actually started last season, like, really hot as a shooter, but then he obviously had the groin injury in December. I believe it was early December. Missed a bunch of games, came back, and then, you know, had the
But he came back for the playoffs, right? He literally came back
for the playoffs. He came back. His first game was the playoffs. And that was not some long playoff run. You know, he played, count the games for me, I guess 7 in the Kings series, 6 13. In the Lakers, so 13. And then did not play for, you know, Team Canada this summer. He definitely looks like a guy that needs. You know, and it's weird because, like, he's viewed as, like, this uber athlete that you kind of just drop him on the court and you can play him 42 minutes. I do think we've learned the last few years, and he's getting a little bit older. His shape and rhythm does actually really matter to him. And I just don't think he's in the type of shape and rhythm that he needs to be. And I don't think it's like, oh, he might break through the wall in the next 3 games. I think it's going to take a little time. And, you know, does that matter that much? As you said, Tim, as long as he's there by December, it's probably fine. But it might be a little bit turbulent, I think, to get there. Or who knows?
As MT, as you pointed out, I'll give you, keep you any credit for this. This could open up some things for Jonathan Kuminga. Like, this is, that's how Jonathan Kuminga
it might be a minutes. Blessing in disguise
exactly.
In that way.
Exactly. Yeah. And maybe Kuminga just takes some minutes from him. Maybe that's just how this works. And it's not terrible for the Warriors. And, you know, Wiggins has still got to play well. But, man, if you open up the lane for Jonathan Kuminga and he takes it, maybe they're even better. You know, they're a better team for it.
Marcus, you raised the question.
I think it's concerning, not just because of what's happened this preseason, but dating back to last year, he hasn't been himself for a long time. Like, we haven't seen the Andrew Wiggins of the 2022 playoffs for a minute. So it's like, clearly whatever it was is lingering. And now to me, it's just odd watching Wiggins not be, you know, like, electrifyingly athletic, like, not just jumping in the air, but also just how he moves and how fast he is and how, like, that part of Wiggins doesn't seem like it's there. So now you got to start wondering, like, what's going on physically? Is it age? Will he get in shape? You know, he did somebody like clamped him. It was crazy. He had the ball on the post, tried to do
a move. Grayson Allen?
It might have been Aaron Gordon. He's like, you know, went.
It was Aaron trying to Gordon
drive. Stripped yeah, he's right? Yeah, he trying to drive, couldn't get around him. So he went to the little step back. Gordon was all over it, stripped him. It was like, you don't see Wiggins get swallowed up like that. Like, I mean, unless it was Wembanyama, but that was different, right? So. Like, and the reason it's important is because they just don't have a lot of ISO guys. They don't have a guy you can get the ball to and say, go get a bucket. Wiggins was one of those guys.
Kuminga has been their best lately. Yeah, Kuminga, right?
Like, I mean, in he's going to have to be. They need somebody. Yeah. And that's what was happening with Phoenix, especially getting down the line. It's like, get to the end of the game. At some point, you need to just make a play. Wiggins was one of those guys. So if he's not one of those guys, they got to find one of those guys. You know, so it is. I think it's a little concerning. I'm with TK. I feel like he can get back there. Like, there's just something about Wiggins that makes you feel like this is not Wiggins, and he'll get to be Wiggins at some point.
What are they saying? This is Minnesota Wiggins. Minnesota Wiggins showed up for the Warriors. I know. Who knows? But you know, they play Jason Tatum in the finals. Who do you expect to be guarding him? It's going to be Andrew Wiggins. They play Luka Doncic in the first round. It's going to be Andrew Wiggins guarding him. It's just they play Jamal Murray in the Nuggets in the second round. It's going to be Andrew Wiggins.
You know, that's what makes this conversation very important, though, because it will be Andrew Wiggins guarding him, but what Wiggins will it be? Because he has not been that Wiggins that we saw Lock and Tatum up. And again, he's going to probably guard Fox. Yep. Devin Booker was just kind of scoring on him, right? Yep. You know? Yep. So that is why it is such a relevant question, even though we don't often talk too much about Wiggins, right? This is almost rare in the podcast to have an extended Wiggins conversation, but...
two-way wigs. Without two-way wigs, they don't win that championship. And two-way wings are what they're built on. Like, those are, that's it. That's how they've done this. Clay, when he was before his surgeries, Durant, obviously, Andre. Like, this is it. This is how they match up with everybody. Steph does the magic. Steph is obviously the supernatural power here. Draymond is the power forward center, but the two-way wings match them up with everybody. They don't have mismatches when you have guys like that. You need Andrew to be that guy. And if, again, as you know, MT said, if they don't have him like that, then they're gonna have to figure out something else. But I still think there's plenty of time for him to work his way into that. And maybe we'll see what he does on Friday against De'Aaron Fox.
Marcus Thompson.
All right. That'll do it for this episode of Warriors Plus Minus. We'll be coming to you from Sacramento, all 82. Right,
you
Slater?
You too.
Sure, I could do that.
This is it. Slater's doing all of them. He's doing 80. He's going 82 for 82.
I thought he already said he was. That's what I thought. That's what we were doing. Right, you said you was doing this, right, Slater? We're doing it. This is gonna happen. All 82 from Anthony Slater. I'm gonna be on the first two.
He's doing like 70 of them, I think.
Just the first two.
70 of them. I know. I'm dropping out already. I am already got marks against me, but there might be a lot of them that I'm not mad at. So while the 49ers are playing and Giants are hiring a manager, I got some other things I gotta do.
All right. Until next time, we'll catch you later.